I have a saying that I use very frequently, perhaps too frequently, and on reflection this week, I use it predominantly when I am tired, when I'm over something, when I can't be bothered, or when I simply don't care. And the saying is this: you're an adult, it's a free country, do what you want. Now, I have no idea where this phrase came from. I tried to do a bit of searching this week on the internet and couldn't find it anywhere. So I just still run with it. But here's some examples of when I do use it. So one of my family members may say to me, do you think, or what do you think, if I take, insert one of our son's names in this space, and what if we go and watch the Melbourne Storm play in Timbuktu on Saturday night? I'm like, you're an adult. It's a free country. Do what you want. Or another family member, 10 minutes after we've finished dinner, might say, is there anything to eat? Is it okay if I eat these berries and yogurt in the fridge? And now, because they are all adults, I can say, whoever it may be, why would I care? You're an adult, it's a free country, do what you want. Or someone else might say, I know we have to leave in 10 minutes, but I'm just going to mow the lawns, wash the car, have a coffee and a nap, and we should be good to go. I'm like, ugh, you're an adult, it's a free country, do what you want, but I'm leaving. Now, like I said, it is predominantly with my family that I would use this phrase. But while I was at the International College for Officers in London earlier in this year, I did perhaps get a reputation around this phrase because I had started to use it a little bit with some of my session mates or my cohort. For example, when we were breaking up into discussion groups one day, and it was a beautiful day in England, the sun was shining, and one person in our group said, do you think it'll be okay if we go and sit out in the sun to have our discussion? Like, we were dressed in our full get-up Salvation Army uniform. And I was like, sure, we're adults. It's a free country. So off we went. One Friday afternoon, we were finishing at 1:30 and we wanted to catch the train into central London to do some more sightseeing. And someone said, do you think it's okay? I was like, why not? We're adults. It's a free country. We can do what we want. But then one afternoon it backfired when I was feeling quite weary, and I asked someone what I really thought was like a rhetorical question. I said, I'm tired and my brain's full. Do you think it would be okay if they, perhaps like the college staff and principal, would mind if I skipped the next lecture and went and had a little nap? And the response quickly came back from an officer who English was their second, maybe third language, and they said, you're an adult, it's a free country, do what you want. Needless to say, I attended the lecture because, you know, I do what's right most of the time. Augustine, the North African theologian of the 4th century, once wrote this: love God and do whatever you please. You're an adult, it's a free country, do what you want. Well, here we are back in 1 Corinthians, a letter that Paul wrote to these people who almost were living by this phrase of Augustine's. And according to verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6 that we just heard, they put it this way: you say, I'm allowed to do anything. But the scripture goes on, not everything is good for you. Or the Message paraphrase says, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. On the surface, the words of Augustine, love God and do whatever you please, may seem like a license to do the wrong thing, to sin. And as long as I love God, I can do anything I want, and God's okay with whatever I do. But no, Augustine seemed to realise that if you genuinely love God, then you'll want to do what honours him the most. If you truly love God, then his Holy Spirit will transform you so that what pleases God will become what pleases you. So Paul writes to this church to address this way of thinking and states that even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. David Pryor, the theologian, says Paul is not satisfied with the lowest common denominator approach to his daily behaviour. He wants to ensure that what he does is genuinely helpful for his daily witness to unbelievers, for his work in the church, and for his walk with Christ. I have no doubt that the Corinthians were happy, even excited about the freedom that they had found in Christ. Paul had gone there to teach them about Jesus. And this enabled some of the old laws that they had followed or perhaps had been enslaved to for their whole lives to become null and void because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. This was new for them. Paul agrees that they are free when he writes back to them. And if you've been here or you've been watching the last couple of weeks, you'll know that Paul wrote back to the church in Corinth because of their behaviour. And so while, yes, he agrees that they are free, he reminds them that not everything is good for them. Not everything builds you up, builds others up. And certainly not everything brings life. Someone who I read quite often, we have the books, the Bible study notes from William Barclay that actually my parents gave to us. He says, William Barclay says, "All things are allowed me, but I will not allow anything to get control of me." And of course, we know that when a letter is written, the message is generally contextual to the original recipient or recipients. And to be fair, this letter of Paul's is no different. And I don't know how many of you were cringing when you heard the Bible reading that Nathan just shared with us. But if you, again, have heard JB or I speak over the last couple of weeks, you will have heard us both mention this temple in Corinth, the temple of Aphrodite, where there were, they say, 1,000 priestesses in the temple who would go down into the city at night time to work the streets as prostitutes. So when Paul is addressing the Corinthians in this chapter 6, with the matters of sexual immorality, it makes sense to them and to the time in which he was writing and the city to whom he was writing to. But like many of the issues that are in this letter, many of the things that Paul raises, these things that are of concern to the people of Corinth, to the church in Corinth, I would say are still an area of concern in our country, in our city, and indeed in the world. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality, writes Paul. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. This was in some ways some radical thinking for the Corinthians and their culture, because the body was often seen as being unimportant. What mattered was your spirit or your soul. But Paul is insisting in his writings that the body matters to God. Therefore, what we do with our body matters. The Greeks always considered the body to be irrelevant to anything significant. There was a Greek proverb that says, the body is a tomb. Or Epictetus, who was a Greek philosopher, who I'm sure you've all heard of, and in my research was known for his work on Stoicism. He said, I am a poor soul shackled in a corpse. So morbid. But Paul says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Sometimes late at night, like most people in Australia, I will mindlessly scroll through Instagram or some other social media. I only do Instagram, but people use other social media. And I stopped at this story of an Australian journalist who was enjoying some time out at a health resort. And they posted this on one of their Instagram stories. If you can see this picture, it says, it's an egg Florentine on a cauliflower hash brown. Delicious. I know, my body is a temple now. That's what they wrote. Interesting that this person uses this scriptural phrase about their body being a temple simply because they were eating a cauliflower hash brown. Anyone ever had a cauliflower hash brown? Don't know, apparently you need to go to this health resort in Queensland if you're interested. But it's probably no surprise to you that this is not really what Paul was meaning when he was writing these words about our bodies being temples. What the people in Corinth knew was that the temple was a sacred place where God's presence dwelt. They would have known this from the Old Testament writings. They would have known this because they may well have experienced pilgrimages to the temple of God. Perhaps they knew this because people travelled from everywhere to encounter God in the temple. And now Paul is saying, kind of tipping some of their thinking on its head, but you are that place. Jesus came, Jesus died, he was raised to life, he was taken up into heaven, he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and now the Spirit of God lives in you, therefore you are the temple. He doesn't just visit us now and then. He's made his home within us. That means that wherever you go or wherever I go, God's presence goes with us. We carry his light, his love, and his hope in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community, in our meetings, in our schools, in our families, because the Spirit of God lives in us. You are so deeply loved and valued because God bought you with a price. So you must honour God with your body. Honour God being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Again, the message says, or didn't you realise that your body is a sacred place? The place of the Holy Spirit. Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid for with such a high price? We know that that price was God's Son, Jesus. And to have the presence of the Spirit of God within us is a privilege. So how are you honouring God with your daily life? Perhaps this is the bigger question that Paul is asking the people in Corinth. Are you making good choices? Are you caring for your body? Yes, with rest, what many may refer to as healthy rhythms, but also avoiding those things that can enslave you, like scrolling through Instagram at 10 or 11 o'clock at night? Are you allowing your life to show that your body is indeed a temple of the Holy Spirit? Perhaps through kindness, through generosity, through self-control, through purity. You know, I have avoided speaking on this passage of scripture for the entire time I have been an officer, which is just shy of 23 years. That makes me sound really old. Because who wants to speak on sexual immorality, right? I often thought that it's just so heavy and perhaps about shame and guilt. But as I have considered it again, particularly in this last week or so, I've been reminded of the freedom that we have because of Jesus. And how really this passage is another invitation to live in the freedom that is a gift from God. This, friends, as you can see on the screen, is how the gospel changes everything. While Augustine may have said, love God and do whatever you please, we believe that the Holy Spirit transforms lives, that it breaks chains, that it speaks life and truth, so that we can walk, talk, live, and love in a way that our lives, including our soul, our mind, and our body, honour God. Paul challenged the Corinthians for where they were at that specific time in history. God challenges us for where we are in our specific time of life. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are called to honour God with who we are. But the great news in all of this is that because of Jesus, we have been set free. Our chains are gone. Our God, our Saviour, our Lord has ransomed us. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. We're going to join in just a few moments to sing the words of this well-known song. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. It's maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but to consider for yourself what perhaps it is that is enslaving you. What is it that is contextual for your life? What is it that you need to put aside so that you can honour God with who you are, not allowing things to have control of you.